The Green Front with Betsy Rosenberg, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome to another edition of The Green Front. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg, and so much to turn around and so much to talk about and a lot to get upset about, certainly, but let's not go into despondency and depression and paralysis. No, we are calling for people to wake up, and I think if this oil kill is not waking up America, nothing ever will, and there's reason to have optimism because people are talking about this. You turn on CNN any hour of the day or night, and this is the top story. Larry King had it all last night. It is on everyone's minds, and it is in front of us. We can't hide from it, so let's deal with it. Someone who has been on the green front lines right down there in the Gulf Coast is a woman named Casey Calloway. You may have seen her interviewed on CNN and other television networks. I've been really impressed with her candor, her being available to the press, and saying, you know, what's going on in a way that's very calm but also very strong and powerful. So I'm very pleased to welcome Casey Calloway. She is with Mobile Baykeeper to the show. Thanks for joining us, Casey. I know you're busy and really appreciate it. And thanks for spending a few minutes with us or as long as you have to tell us, first of all, what's going on down there, and also want to get your reaction to President Obama's speech from the Oval Office last evening. I'm sure, like many of us, you were both encouraged and then also kind of discouraged and disappointed that it didn't quite go far enough.
Right. Well, thank you so much for having me and for the very kind words. It's been incredibly important to me to make sure that every media outlet that will listen or hear keeps their eyes focused on this. One of the biggest problems we have with the chemical dispersant, frankly, is our fear that they keep the oil below the surface to try and hide it, keep it out of sight, out of mind. And it's our job to make sure, everyone's on the Gulf Coast job, to make sure that the community, the country, frankly, even the world, not only sees what's happening, but they also learn, they also take the moment to really understand that we can't let the lesson be lost in it. We've got to act, we've got to react, we've got to stand strong and change our lives in a lot of ways.
What a lesson. What a wake-up call. And it's not even close to being over. It's still unfolding. Every time we see that oil gushing out of there on that video cam, and it's sickening, literally sickening. And first let's talk about the latest news, which was Obama's speech. It was a lot of hope. It was his first Oval Office talk to the nation. And he hit some high points there. You know, he got my, you know, goosebumps going there for a couple seconds, but he kind of left us hanging. It wasn't very long on specifics or substance at a moment where not only do we need that climate change legislation hanging in the balance, and by the way, the second half of the program will be focused on that. We'll be speaking with someone from the Center for American Progress. But, you know, Obama is known for his oratorial skills. You know, he really could have galvanized the nation. Seems like a bit of an opportunity lost.
So some of the stuff was great that he said. Frankly, you have to always keep in mind that we are an environmental organization in South Alabama. So we're not your average bird, and
so
I've had to work very hard to keep the war language out of my vocabulary, and part of my being very hope filled with his speech was that he really put the war language in. He called it what it was or what it is, and frankly, in my opinion, he called BP the enemy that we know they are. So that was really heartening, but you're absolutely right. He talked about an energy policy, and frankly, we can't lose sight of the fact that on March 31st, he said we're going to drill. and we'll reduce our foreign dependency on oil by drilling in Florida and Alaska and lots of other places around the country. He has at times and hasn't fully rejected the idea of clean coal, which waterkeepers around the country and the world can tell you is a dirty lie. We have been fighting clean coal for since we learned about it. None of that sounded right. So there's some energy issues that we're very concerned about and wanting to see what he wants to do differently and wanting to hear that specific, those specific details.
And that was lacking. Why do you think? I mean, do you think he's under political pressure? Is he still, you know, beholden to the oil companies? Is BP writing the script? Why do you think he really missed an opportunity when he does get it, we think?
My real thought on that was he's not, you know, my thought is he's a very strong person, and he has worked to control the message at every point. I feel like his first battle was going to be healthcare, and then he had his second battle and his third battle lined up. None of those were the environment. Well, the environment dealt him a card he has to play. And he has got to start and take this mantle up, and I think he's just been – I don't think he's ready for the fight, and he needs to get ready for the fight. I said this on to someone, I'm not sure. Because Alabama, you know, did not vote for the president. we all carry those little, or lots not. There are lots of little blue dots in the red state bumper stickers around here, but the environmental community almost as a whole voted for the president, predominantly because we knew that he would be the environmental leader that we did not have in the past. Now we need him to step up and seriously become that leader. It's time, and this needs to be his war, and he needs to take it up.
And he missed that opportunity. I don't know if they're planning another speech, you know, because I think the White House thought it was going to have a different impact, but it just left most people who have been, you know, just even partway paying attention to this, not just the oil kill, as I've been calling it, you can't call this thing a spill, but climate change, the need for energy policy, the need to transition from clean to clean energy resources, and the need for leadership. It was underwhelming and disappointing. So I don't know what they were thinking. It's really kind of odd, to put it nicely.
His top three issues, cleanup, restoration, and then future for energy policy. With cleanup, as I said earlier today, I mean, number one, the fact that they're still using the dispersant just makes everyone sick. Everyone. I mean, you don't have to be an environmentalist to know that the dispersant is wrong. In Alabama, where oil has only been coming in since late May, been lapping up onto our shores since late May, what we found this weekend, I spent all weekend on the beach looking for oil, going to see it, understand it, and like on the islands and Gulf Shores and Orange Beach area. And got home Sunday night and had an email from a shrimper who had gone out in our bays in Alabama. So not on the shore, not off the coast, but inshore. And every time he put his trawl net down, just to check, just to see, no shrimping season is open, obviously, all he pulled up was oil. You couldn't see it on the surface. It's below the surface. So the traditional methods to keep oil offshore are not going to work. And it's because primarily because of that dispersant. And the president has the ability to stop it, and we need him to do that.
Now, he said this is a moment, you know, to launch a national mission to make the transition to a clean energy future. That it is, no disagreement there. But, again, just how we need a roadmap. We need, you know, someone to spell out how we're going to do that. And it just seemed like the speech ended too soon. It just was like, okay, now we're listening. You got our attention. And then it was, let's pray, which sounded like another president we once had. And then look what praying got us.
And we are praying. I assure you, we are praying like crazy. But I flew the area this morning. I saw the big red bands. I saw the ribbons of oil and sheen, black and red and color. I mean, every color you can imagine this is out there, and in no way is it a beautiful sight. It's going up and down inlets. It's going exactly where we don't want it to be. And, you know, the one other commitment that the president made that is a beautiful commitment, but when you hear, you know that that's not necessarily true, but he said we'll have this stopped by summer. We'll have this over by August. And there's no guarantee on that. And that is something that, you know, and then he also had the opportunity to really call us to arms and to ask us to do better as individuals, just to look at our own lives as individuals and stop being so consumptive. And he didn't do that. And that to me is one of his biggest opportunities missed. He could have said, now is the time, country, for us to do better.
Like after 9/11, President Bush told us to go shopping and to consume, and Americans are pretty good at that. And here, you know, President Obama is telling us to pray. And like you said, it doesn't hurt. We need that. We need everything. But it's such an opportunity lost, and that can be the only green lining in this dark, dark cloud of this disaster, this catastrophe, is to, you know, now that we have people's attention, I mean, mainstream Americans, you know, blue and red alike, are paying attention, and it just seems like this can't be all there is at the top, that our administration, our president, must really outline what needs to be done. I mean, the environmental community has been doing that, but it's time for this to happen at the executive level, and it's past time. So what are you hearing people in Alabama saying, people who, you know, maybe were not concerned about the environment, but certainly are concerned about their livelihood and the practical side of this unfolding catastrophe?
We, you know, what we're hearing is a lot of fear and a lot of worry. I mean, the four biggest economies in the Gulf Coast are tourism, fishing industry. I mean, we are the seafood capital. The Gulf of Mexico is the seafood capital for the entire world. And it's shipping, which is impacted, although they're doing their darndest to not let it be at all. And then it's oil and gas. And no matter what BP has done is changing what's going to happen with oil and gas. Now, how broadly it's changed, I think, is still going to be in our hands. But one of the solutions that I have for green jobs, and I think, I don't know if this has crossed the president's mind, but every single rig needs to be inspected, every single one. There are over 4,000 of them in the Gulf of Mexico that are active. We have probably, countless rigs that have been shut down in some way, shape, or form. But have they ever had closure plans? Have they ever inspected those old rigs? I can assure you there are pipelines all over the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico, and not one of them was taken up after a rig was closed off. Jobs forever.
Good point. And what about really, are you seeing military presence there yet? I mean, I heard a former general talking today about they should be treating this like World War III and
right.
have every, you know, piece of man and woman power and equipment out there. And here we are almost 2 months into this, and that's not really happening. I mean, are you seeing any signs of more resources being poured into the area?
Well, the weird resources we have, you know, the part of the problem, one of the things that Mobile Baykeeper has been instrumental in is organizing volunteers, along with our co-program here at the Alabama Coastal Foundation. We fought tooth and nail to get a volunteer plan happening, and we have succeeded in doing that. One of the things we found out very early on, well, and we did it because 5,000 people called our offices and said, how can I help? what we found out was that volunteers can't go and clean up oil. If you want to clean up oil or help an injured bird or an oiled bird, if you want to get involved in something that just pulls at your heartstrings because it's something you care about, you want to be trained to do it well, the only way for you to do that is to get hired and paid by BP. So the weird things that we're noticing, and we were out on the beach all day Sunday, we saw, you know, hundreds of the people who of mostly not people who necessarily know the beach well and know the area well, out there cleaning up, scraping up the beach and putting it in trash bags.
And so do you have enough volunteers helping to clean up, and does it take much training to, you know, safely pick up oil, if that's even possible?
Volunteers are not allowed to touch oil. Volunteers are not allowed to clean up oil. If you want to clean up oil, you have to be hired by BP.
And is there much training involved? I mean, I was at a party this weekend, and a friend said, why don't they pay, you know, volunteers who are down there or bring in more volunteers by paying them $5 a bag of oil? And I said, well, because that stuff is toxic and that's dangerous. And
well,
he said, how much training could be involved in picking up well? And I just wondered if there's any, you know, possible feasibility to that idea to just bring more people, more help in, give people a little bit of money who are, you know, suffering financially.
You're actually, that's all they're doing. I have 5,000 people who don't want to get paid, who don't want to get hired by BP, who are not allowed to work. So they're hiring anybody who's ever been unemployed in their entire lives, and they're all out there on the beach scouring it. They're hiring people from BP is paying better than your local grocery stores, than your local Walmarts. So actually employment is shifting. And in the grocery store this weekend, it's the shelves are empty. There's nobody working in the grocery store because BP is paying better. So they're altering the economy locally and not in a positive way. It's good that they're out there shoveling up the beach, but those folks don't know what they should be and shouldn't be shoveling. Mm. We trained our volunteers not to go into nesting areas and not to touch bird areas, not to touch turtles, to look for signs of nature protecting itself and caring for itself so that we had a group of people who are not going to impact an area in their effort to clean it up. Well, these folks are being trained to not touch oil with their bare hands. They're being trained, you know, on how to, frankly, I'm having to give the BP safety lesson, and it includes things like your truck will be hot when you go back to it after you've been in the sun all day long. It's some very simple things that they're training them on, not the hard things, not the wear protective gear. We even hear that they're not allowing vessels of opportunity, the crew boats that they hire in Louisiana, to wear respirators. They're telling them they are not allowed to wear respirators. And they're working with chemicals, and they're working with oil, and they're doing skimming, and they're with dispersants.
And why are they allowed to continue to say things like that? It's just absurd.
Exactly. And that's a lot of what the gentleman from Louisiana who was on with me this morning is saying, my folks aren't protected, and I'm not allowed to protect them. And since it's the only money they see coming in for the next whoever knows how long, they fear bucking the system. So they're doing what they're told. And what good is it to BP that they tell someone to put their health at risk, except that it looks bad on camera?
Mm. Casey, what would you like to see happen? You're right there on the front lines. You have been long before this. This is where you work before this disaster happened. If you were president for a day, what would you call for?
Well, it's one thing I would call for is no more permits anywhere in the country without the ability and the will to inspect and monitor those permits. To me, very simple. For the oil, that's the long term forever. For the oil spill right now, no more dispersant and more ships, more skimmer boats, more everything out there to collect the oil before it comes inshore, because we can't collect it once it's on shore. Those two things to me are just primary. And then the third thing is, you know, the president is setting up panels. The one thing he did say in his speech that gave me great hope, he acknowledged how much we've lost in the South about wetlands. We've lost miles and miles of wetlands and shore reefs and oyster reefs and you name it. But at the same time, we get 10 times less money than the Great Lakes and 10 times less money than the Chesapeake Bay area. We need the financial resources here to rebuild. And I heard him say he's going to help us get those. What we need him to hear is that the local community need to be actively involved in what we do and how we build and how we restore, frankly, and how we protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. The local aspect, the folks on the ground, are not being included in a lot of those decisions the president's making. To me, that's absolutely imperative.
Is the mood getting worse? I mean, as this thing just drags on with no real estimate of when this thing is going to stop, I would have to think, and the summer sets in and the tourists are not there, that it would seem that there would be justifiable near panic among merchants there and people who rely on the coast for their livelihoods.
There's so much anger and fear and you name it. I mean, you know, this whole thing for Alabama's shoreline, this hit right before Memorial Day weekend. And that's the kickoff of our season. So There is great fear and great panic, and it's and great worry. And my goal, you know, we have over 4,000 members. We're one of the largest organizations in the entire Gulf Coast who does nonprofit advocacy work. And we're tiny. You know, we have a staff of six. But what we're doing and what our entire message is don't give up hope. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. Keep working. We can do better. And our community will recover, and it will recover quickly. We just have to keep fighting.
Mm-hmm. Now, the opportunity lost, just if we can spend a few minutes on that, whether or not President Obama spelled it out, we know we need to reduce our dependence on not just foreign oil, but oil. And
right.
It's easy to, you know, shake our fists at the television and you know, come up with all kinds of new names for what BP stands for. But mm-hmm. the reality is we should look in the mirror as well, because
right.
we Americans use, you know, way out of proportion, you know, the amounts we're, what, at least 4 or 5% of the world's population, we use 20-25% of the world's resources, including oil, and we only have 2% of it here, you know, on and off our shores. So we're wasteful. We're still driving around in giant SUVs, and I don't know how many Priuses you have down there in Alabama, but while they're plentiful here in, you know, pretty green Bay Area, Marin County, San Francisco Bay Area, California, I hear you don't see them out there in the rest of the country, and they use gas too, but, you know, getting 49 miles per gallon versus getting 19 miles per gallon does make a big difference. And these things should be required in every driveway. The government should be subsidizing them. Certainly the move to get on to electric cars has to, you know, hasten. You know, don't we all need to take responsibility, even if we're not getting the kind of leadership we would hope for?
Well, and frankly, if we did the simplest thing, one of my very dear friend with the Nature Conservancy did the math on this, or found the math on this to give to me. He said, if we drove 20% less, just 20% less, for most people that's 5 miles a day on average, and it's not your drive to your office. It's not. It's the grocery stores, then come home, then go somewhere else. It's also the pleasure trips and that sort of thing, and our inability to carpool. But if we drove 20% less, we would save 1.8 million million barrels of oil per day. And the Gulf of Mexico produces 1.75 million barrels per day.
Wow, with all those platforms, thousands of platforms out there?
Yeah. So that's it. I mean, we would that one thing, and we would change our entire lifestyles.
So why did President Obama get up and ask people to pledge to do just that? And then we have something when we wake up today that we can do to feel like we're part of the solution and not just wringing our hands.
Exactly. And again, I think that is his biggest opportunity missed. We have to do something. But it's plastic bags at the grocery store. You can do such teeny-weeny little things but make a massive impact. And then you can also commit to doing a whole lot more. But there are tiny things and there are massive things. And we all have to start presenting those ideas and living those ideas and living those responsibilities. We cannot let this lesson be lost.
Here, here. So concluding thoughts, Casey, just as we say goodbye, what else would you like to share with our listeners?
Biggest thing always is please don't let this lesson get lost. Commit to being involved. Commit to doing better. I imagine your listeners are good folks who are already doing so much, and I'm so appreciative of that. And then I have to do a little pitch for our work. None of us in the Gulf of Mexico budgeted for an oil spill. We need support. We need help. We're running 5,000 volunteers with 6 people, and we're tired. We don't get the 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off that BP folks do. We're working 24/7 here pretty much.
You might like your life back, too, at some point.
Yes, I know. I almost said that. We would. We really would. We would like to actually go back and fight the really horrible things like stormwater and sewer.
Mm-hmm.
But this is important, and it's important for all of our lives. We are going to come back from this, but we need to come back better people with better lives, making a much, much smaller dent in our everyday.
Thanks, Casey. And if you would just like to give your website, if people want to send contributions to your wonderful organization, tell people how they can help.
Thank you. It's mobilebaykeeper.org. And there's lots and lots of updated daily information on the website, so feel free to go there often and check it out. We do have a place for volunteers to sign up as well if you want to. When we have a big call out, we send a weekly notice out to folks. So thank you again so much for having me.
You're most welcome. And are you gearing up, since this thing could go on till August, if not beyond? Are you training more volunteers now that it's something that's clearly going to be around for the longer haul?
Right now we're training local volunteers because the jobs we have really require good knowledge of the area. Mm-hmm. But we foresee a time when BP can't keep us off the shores, and we'll be ready to train volunteers to get out there and help scout out oiled animals, injured animals, as well as do beach cleanup.
Hopefully,
but they will be
well trained. I think it's time for BP to stop calling the shots, and I'm sure I'm not alone in that thinking. And good luck as you organize and activate and mobilize in Mobile, Alabama. Mobile Baykeeper, Casey Calloway, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, we'll see you on CNN, and maybe we'll have you back in a couple weeks on the Green Front to give us an update. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All the important work you're doing. We'll be back right after these messages. Hopefully we'll be speaking with someone from the Center for American Progress about the progress or lack